You're listening to The Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
To the second half of the Carol Cox Show. And as promised, I have Mrs. Rebecca Woodland, the blonde vegetarian. And I'll let her explain the title and what's the behind that. But again, I want to tell you up front, this is nothing to do with commercial. She's not paying for this. This is an outreach from the Carol Cox Show to bring to you, some of you that have compromised health concerns and conditions, and just want a better quality of life. Like myself, I have a few extra pounds that I like to dump off downtown, and so I just reached out for her, and I started being a vegetarian some while back for health reasons and ethical reasons, but this was an opportunity that I couldn't squander. So all of that said, good morning, Rebecca, and how are you? And thank you for accepting my invite.
Thank you. Good morning to you.
All righty. Tell us something about yourself first, and then about vegetarianism, and we'll talk about veganism and what have you later. But it's not scripted, but if you would.
Okay. Well, I am a cancer survivor, and that's how this whole thing started. I had been on a downward spiral for quite a while as far as my eating habits. It was pretty disastrous. I wasn't really overweight particularly, but I was very unhealthy. I didn't look unhealthy, but inside I was very unhealthy. I had a lot of headaches, stomach aches, all kinds of other health issues. My sinuses were always really, I had a problem. I had a lot of problems.
You had a lot of problems.
And sleep was difficult, but I just figured that was the normal part of getting older. Well, I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So, I had cancer. And that was a real wake-up call. It was no fun. I would not wish it on anyone. But I can honestly say that, in retrospect, it was a gift. And has it changed my life?
How long ago was your cancer?
It was 1996. I'm coming up on my 15-year anniversary of remission.
Folks, too bad radio don't have pictures, but if you saw her, she's a picture of health. And that's why when I was introduced to her and I looked at the website and I thought, this will stimulate us all to stop stuffing so much meat and grease and everything else once you see her and hear her story. And this book, she has The Blonde Vegetarian, and it's real quickly about this book and why did you come up with this book, and were you extending wanting to share with people?
Well, when I finally learned what it was going to take for me to get well and stay well, I realized I was going to have to totally change my diet and lifestyle, not just while I was undergoing treatments, but for the rest of my life. And so I really searched for recipes that were healthy and tasty and easy. And it was very rare that I found a recipe that filled all three requirements. They were either healthy and easy, but really didn't taste appealing, or they were healthy and tasty, but they were so difficult. And because I had lost the use of my right side for some time, it was pretty, and I'm right-handed, it was really a challenge, so I just gave up. And I said, well, I'm going to have to reinvent the wheel, which apparently had not yet been invented. At least I hadn't discovered it. So I started experimenting and making notes on the back of napkins and basically deconstructing food, trying to figure it out, figuring out easy ways to do things, and then checking how do I feel after I've eaten this, and does it make me happy?
Mm-hmm.
Well, eventually I had a whole drawer full of notes on backs of napkins and bits of paper and things like that, and if I wanted to repeat a recipe, it was always hard to find because I had to dig through the drawer. So I ended up, I decided, well, I have to put this in the computer and I'll print it out so I have a book for myself.
Mm-hmm.
This was not intended originally as a cookbook for the rest of the world. It was my own guidebook to get me through. So I have recipes for everything, breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, sauces, dressings, desserts, everything. Something that I can use myself for the rest of my life. It became very apparent that lots of people were interested in this kind of thing, and when I went to potlucks and had, you know, dinners, everyone loved the food, and they were always surprised that it wasn't really complicated. So I ended up putting it more in a recipe book format, not just a collection of recipes, but I had a lot of helpful hints and things, reminders to myself. And that was how it started, in a white binder with computer-printed recipes and hints and stories.
So this book caught the attention of some good people. And who was it, Oprah or someone?
We can only dream, right?
Who actually, did someone come along and find this book and discover that, whoa, there's some great recipes? And it was good.
Yeah. And I was very fortunate. I have a lot of good friends, and I'm not the kind of person who naturally pushes my stuff on other people, because I kind of resent it when people do that to me, unless it's something really, really good. And I had written a children's story, which I didn't share with anyone except one of my friends, who said, this is too good to keep to yourself. So she passed it on to another friend by email, who passed it on to another friend. And I got an email from the friend of the friend of the friend who said, I'd like to meet you. I want to meet the person who wrote the story. So I set up, he set up a meeting with me. And then after the meeting, he said, what else do you write? I said, recipes. And he said, what kind? I said, vegetarian. And his eyes lit up. He said, I want to see what you have. Well, I didn't happen to have the white binder with me at the time. But within the week, he got the white binder. Next thing you know, he set up a meeting with me. I went in to see him. And this was Dale Madden from Island Heritage.
Mm.
And he put a contract in front of me and said, we want to publish your book. We love it.
So you were, you right then, since now I see why I became a vegetarian, got that green leafy stuff, a leafy green stuff.
Well, you know, it's really a labor of love. That's what it is. But I'm so happy that now others don't have to go through what I went through to try to figure out how to make this work. Because mm-hmm. I'm very, very stubborn. I mean, it's ridiculous how stubborn I am. And it's actually been a good thing in retrospect, because if I hadn't been so stubborn, I wouldn't have really taken the time and effort to just keep at it and figure out how to make this work, how to make it easy, how to make it taste good, mm-hmm. and keep slogging away. Even when I was writing it, it was like people thought, oh, how silly. Mm-hmm. Or they liked the food, but they thought it was sort of insulting to blondes or something. And I said, well, I am a blonde vegetarian, and the recipes are blonde-proof. They really are.
Can't go wrong. Well, especially some of them, when you say rock salt, that's difficult for a blonde to figure out.
that would be, yes.
So you've written this book to guard against that, having to figure out what is rock salt.
Well, also, I know the value of glossaries.
Uh-huh.
And I created the book with two glossaries. One of them is for ingredients and mm-hmm. utensils, because a lot of times recipes call for a utensil or an ingredient that you just scratch your head and you can't figure it out. And another glossary for tips and techniques.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Makes it a lot easier.
Well, so that our listeners out there can gain from this, and I'm sure some of them are straddling the fence or quite curious, what is a vegetarian, and how does one become a vegetarian? Is it a difficult thing? If you could walk us through the basics, and then what should I, if I started off as being a vegetarian, what are some of the ingredients that I should, the basic components or things, ingredients that I would need, like salt and oils or whatever? You could just talk to that.
Okay, a vegetarian, in a nutshell, is someone who does not eat meat.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, chickens are meat. Fish is meat.
Chickens are meat.
Yeah. So basically, animals.
Mm-hmm.
Things with eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And lips.
Well, okay. I don't know about that.
No.
Anyway, things with mothers.
Yes.
So a vegetarian is one who does not eat that. However, it's amazing how many people consider them consider themselves vegetarians, but they eat very few vegetables. So in my way of thinking, it's not as much what you don't do, it's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be someone who doesn't eat meat at all, but if you just live on French fries and Doritos, I'm sorry, I can't call you a vegetarian, because mm-hmm. where's the vegetables in that? And it's not a healthy way of eating. So instead of looking at it from the standpoint of what you don't do, you mm-hmm. need to see what is it you do that's different. And so basically, a vegetarian eats vegetables and doesn't eat animal mm-hmm. flesh.
Or products of oils and grease.
Well, animal flesh.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay,
that's the bottom line. Now, there's a lot of unhealthy vegetarians, and, you know, you can see some of them walking around, and you kind of go, ooh, if that's what a vegetarian is, I don't think I want to go there.
Mm-hmm.
But a healthy approach is, well, first of all, if you want to do a healthy vegetarian, I'm sorry, but deep-fried vegetables don't qualify, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's really important, if we're going to eat healthy, just get rid of the deep fryer.
Right.
In fact, fried anything is questionable in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessary. I'm a huge proponent of extra virgin olive oil,
mm-hmm.
which, by the way, isn't good for frying. It heats up too quickly, and it there's no need to use anything for frying, because we're not going to fry in this life,
mm-hmm.
in the vegetarian life.
Ah.
At least not my world.
So if I were to start becoming a vegetarian, what would I put in my kitchen cupboard to have the basics?
Well, okay, first of all, you probably want to take out some things.
Okay.
Okay, you know, like those giant bottles of every other kind of oil, the kind you just buy on the shelf, like...
corn oil.
Corn oil, soybean oil, which they just call vegetable oil, but it's really made with soybeans, if you read the labels. I don't have very much on my shelf,
mm-hmm.
because I eat fresh as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I like to keep brown rice, different varieties of rice,
mm-hmm.
not the white stuff, but
mm-hmm.
different varieties of rice, different kinds of pastas, including some whole grain pastas,
mm-hmm.
And very few canned items, very few, hardly any packaged items at all. And really go with the fresh vegetables, fresh fruit. I like nuts, not the kind that come in jar, like in, you know, big containers like jars and stuff,
mm-hmm.
or cans. The kind that, you know, nuts, the kind in shells or the kind that have been shelled but nothing added.
And fresh.
Fresh,
mm-hmm.
yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Now, to get the health food, do I have to go to the health food store?
No.
Okay.
No.
Where do I get
this? Common misconception. Okay. Most of my shopping happens at the farmer's market. I like to go to the KCC farmer's market, but these days there are many other farmer's markets that are very good, and they're all over town. They're all over the island. There's new ones coming up all the time. And I like to buy locally. I like to support the farmers. When you buy at a farmer's market, you know it's really fresh. It hasn't been sitting, you know, in a truck or on an airplane for a while or wherever. It's fresh. It was usually picked that morning or the afternoon before. You're supporting our local growers, and you're getting some really delicious variety as well. So I do most of my shopping at the farmer's market. Once in a while, I'll go to the supermarket, and I look for products where it says specifically island grown.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very happy to report that our fields at the food land on Baritania has a lot of this, and Times Supermarket,
mm-hmm.
too. Also, Chinatown.
Mm-hmm.
There's some, you know, you pick and choose, but there's a lot of good variety. And the main thing is, wash your vegetables really, really, really thoroughly, no matter where you buy them.
Mm-hmm. So we started talking about it. Back to some of, we know what we shouldn't have, and what are some of the things that we should as a vegetable?
Extra virgin olive oil should be your oil of choice.
Okay.
I know that now flaxseed oil is something that is useful in salad dressings.
Mm-hmm.
It's never to be used for cooking, never heated up. And you need to buy the small bottles, keep it in the freezer,
mm-hmm.
or in the fridge, because it will go rancid very quickly. I recommend Barleans. That's the only flaxseed oil I found that I actually enjoy. And that's because they don't press it,
mm-hmm.
until the store actually orders it.
Barleans,
B-A-R-L-E-A-N-S.
Mm-hmm.
It is insanely expensive. Don't be shocked.
Mm-hmm.
But you only use a little bit at a time.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that a variety of, well, all different kinds of whole grains and different legumes, different kinds of beans and peas. I like to use the Bragg's liquid aminos, or a wheat-free tamari.
Mm-hmm.
Several different types of vinegars, including the Bragg's organic unfiltered apple juice, or not apple juice, apple cider.
Apple cider.
Apple cider vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, it's so much better than the other stuff. It's unfiltered, has a real robust flavor.
Mm-hmm.
It's great for salad dressings. It's great for all different types of things that,
mm-hmm.
you'll see in my book.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the great source of vitamin B12, which is nutritional yeast.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be confused with baking yeast or brewer's yeast. It's a totally different product. It's called nutritional yeast. It looks a little bit like It's about the color of Parmesan cheese, mm-hmm. and it's kind of a flaky, almost powdery thing, and you can buy it in the bulk section at health food stores. There are a few things that you will only find at a health food store, a good health food store, not just anyone. I like to use different kinds of seeds and nuts, including flax seeds, mm-hmm. which I grind as needed, because once they're ground, they can start to deteriorate quickly. Because when you're buying really fresh, there's no preservatives.
Right, that's it.
And that's a good thing.
Right.
That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, cheaper. Can a vegetarian diet be cheaper than a meat diet, meat-based diet?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Now, I'm not saying vegetables are cheap. What I'm saying is, if you're eating a healthy vegetarian diet, first of all, you're not going to be eating hardly anything that comes in a package. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Let me repeat that. You will not be eating hardly anything that comes in a package. Yes, I do eat tofu in moderation,
mm-hmm.
and it has to be prepared correctly, otherwise it's, in my mind, something you would suffer through eating. You need to press it. I tell you how to prepare it so that it can absorb the flavors and not crumble all to bits when you're cooking it. So that's in my book, too. Another thing I had to learn the hard way. So that's one of the few things that I will buy in a package. Other than that, everything is fresh, and I also shop. When I do shop at the health food stores, and even some of the grocery stores now, like Foodland, for example, has bulk bins where you can buy these items in bulk, so you save on the packaging. You don't have to deal with all that. Mm. You'll save a lot of money, even though the price per pound might seem a lot. You get a lot
mm-hmm.
for your money, and you're not paying for that extra stuff that you're going to throw away anyway. So that's where I do most of my shopping. I don't, you know, if when you do go to a regular grocery store, you just go around the edge. You don't even need what's inside unless you're specifically going to buy a box of pasta or, for example, a can of diced tomatoes or mm-hmm. something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, there's really no need to hit those, you know, to get to the ice cream or the potato chips or the sodas or anything like that. That's not even, that doesn't qualify as real food for me.
You're listening to the Carol Cox Show. My guest is Miss Rebecca Woodland, the blonde vegetarian. And how do we look at your book? How do we obtain your book? And how does one contact you? Because you got a lot of things going on, cooking classes, and we'll talk about those. But it's all, again, I notice this, it's about teaching people and those that are willing to change their health ways or improve their health.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we get in touch with you? Do you have a website,
yes.
an address, phone number, and if you would?
My website is theblondevegetarian.com. And that's blonde with an E at the end, theblondevegetarian.com. And that website will give you everything you need to get in touch with me and also fill you in on the kinds of classes I teach and upcoming classes I have.
Mm-hmm.
My next class, my next major class is at Castle Hospital at the Wellness Center on Wednesday, February 23rd. It's called Eat, Love, and Live Long. It's heart-healthy foods. That also, legend has it, they have some aphrodisiac qualities as well, and they're delicious.
Now, what's that recipe again?
Well, there's many of them. So when you sign up for the class and attend, you will get, of course, the instruction and the copies of the recipes and a good chance to have a lot of your questions answered. It's really fun, and you get to eat the food. It's really, really good.
I'm shocked. After that, you say that some of these will have aphrodisiac properties, and here, not a single phone call. They'd be ringing off the hook now. Well, they must be all asleep.
Well, if you would like to register for the class, you can call Castle during a normal work week, business hours, at 263-5400. And tell them you would like to register for the cooking class on February 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
The cost is minimal. It's either $10 or $15, depending on if you register as a couple or if you're an employee of the hospital or over a certain age. They have various fee structures, but you won't ever pay more than $15, and you get a lot for that.
Mm-hmm. And anyone is invited?
As long as they're not like really little kids. You know, we want people who are old enough to sit still and interact appropriately, and it's a really good class. Now, it's not a hands-on class. We may have at least 50 people in this class, so just from a standpoint of space, it's not hands-on. There will be a cooking demonstration. You may have an opportunity to come up and do a little hands-on yourself, but we're not advertising this as a hands-on cooking class.
You know, this book is going to help a couple of blonde friends of mine here. It's blonde proof. I have one blonde friend who, all of her dishes she burned. And in the recipes that calls for turnips, she turns the heat up.
Oh, that's bad.
Anyway, I don't call and throw tomatoes at me. But I had to unlearn and relearn almost everything I knew or thought I knew about cooking. That's one of your quotes from there.
Mm-hmm.
What can you expand on that? Or
well, I grew up a long time ago, and my mother was a huge fan of Betty Crocker and Campbell's soup. And she was the casserole queen. She was also the hamburger queen. She invented Hamburger Helper before Hamburger Helper was invented. So my way of cooking from the beginning was a lot of meat, a lot of cream soups and casserole-y things that I had made, lots of sodium. And, oh, they tasted good, but they weren't really all that good for me. And, of course, my mother's reaction when we talk about this is she laughs and she says, well, none of you kids died, did you? She's right. We all survived just fine. But that was kind of my mode. I didn't use fresh things as much as I should have.
Mm-hmm.
I oversalted. I didn't even know about, you know, good kinds of salt and good kinds of oils and different things like that. So I just had to kind of do a mind shift, a mm-hmm. real mind shift.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm looking through this book and mouth-watering, and there's simple recipes you have here at carrot slaw with dry cranberries, and a lot of people don't know that salads and coleslaws and things, a lot of mayonnaise is mixed in.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of mayonnaise.
and so here you have a recipe. This is so easy, it hardly deserves to be called a recipe. The secret is to use very fresh sweet carrots and fresh, not bottled, lemon juice. The cranberries add a festive touch and a hint of sweet tartness. And the mint provides a refreshing contrast, a great source of beta-carotene, vitamin C, and fiber. So this book, you're giving them, because why should I be eating carrots? Well, it's explaining, and
yeah.
I like the way you've simplified it
right. For
us non-blondes, too.
Yes, yes. I know some people have asked me why I did not include the full-on nutrition analysis of each recipe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are several reasons. One of them is the book would be 500 pages long then.
Mm-hmm.
But the main reason is I wanted to encourage people to make their own variations of the different recipes and not be afraid that, oh, if I do this, then I won't have as much vitamin C or as much fiber, and I'll change the nutritional analysis of it. Well, you know, don't worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know that. From what I say at the beginning of each recipe, I give a little blurb, tell you something about the recipe, if it's high fiber, high in beta carotene, a good source of protein, whatever. Mm-hmm. Just give you a little snippet so you know why it would be a good idea to make this recipe.
Mm-hmm.
Besides the fact, it really tastes good, and it's so easy, it's almost funny.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm looking at another chocolate tofu cream pie.
Ooh, this is the favorite.
No bake, and it's non-dairy. Now, the simple decadent dessert, and it looks good, is not the most healthful treat, but it is delicious. It is a delicious way to eat tofu, and it is a good source of protein. Even a child can make it.
That's true, if you trust a child with your blender. That is such an easy recipe, and it's not unhealthy unless you eat half the pie yourself. You know, that, of course, if you eat half a pie, any kind of pie, you're not going to feel so good. Mm-hmm. But the secret is you use the dark chocolate and the silken tofu, put it in a, melt the chocolate, put it in a blender, and you can add whatever else. Mm-hmm. If you want to put like vanilla extract or almond extract or cinnamon. I like to put a little cinnamon in because that helps to stabilize blood sugar and it gives it a really interesting twist. The crust is made only with almonds and dates.
Mm.
And then you make it in a food processor, press it into the pan. It's so easy.
Almonds and dates. The almonds give the body, and the dates give
the stickiness.
Stickiness.
Yeah, it sticks it all together. You don't bake it or anything.
You just press it in, make a mold.
You press it in, yes. And then you pour the blended chocolate tofu mixture in and put it in the fridge. And about 30 minutes later, when it's set, you can eat it.
Where would I get my dates from if I...
Where you can get it from the health food store, and sometimes you can buy them like at Costco and Sam's Club and places like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Safeway and in the fruit
sometimes,
section.
Sometimes
they have,
they have the. It's, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's also sometimes seasonal. Like around mm-hmm. the holidays, you're more likely to find them.
Mm-hmm. Sugar-free sugar plum.
Ooh,
no
those
bake.
Are so good.
Well, tell us about that one. I'm looking at this picture.
These are made with various dried fruits. You can use a variety of things, whatever you have on hand.
Mm-hmm.
Prunes, dates, figs. And you make it in the food processor.
Mm-hmm.
And add a little of the organic cocoa powder.
Mm-hmm.
Not chocolate mix, the cocoa powder organic.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit of grated orange peel and a couple of other ingredients, and then you just scoop it out with a melon baller or something like that. You can roll it in coconut or chopped nuts, stick it in the fridge, and because the ants really like this. Ants have great taste,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they're wonderful. They keep for a long, long time, except for they don't usually last that long because people love them.
Here's a soba veggie stir fry.
Ooh, yes. This is a really easy one. It has a lovely flavor, and it's very low fat.
Mm-hmm.
And people have made this one they've added tofu. And for those of you who are living in mixed households where you have some vegetarians, vegans, maybe, you know, some meat eaters, kids, elderly, people with allergies and all that, you know, it's a real pain to cook for them. You don't really want to have to make, you know, four different menus just mm-hmm. to suit everyone. But this is one of those dishes where there's a lot of variety. You can add or subtract various vegetables. And if you want to add some meat or tofu for those in your family who prefer that, you can do that as well. But the basic recipe, the sauce is so delicious and it has like a couple of ingredients only. It's excellent. So this one, people are really thrilled and so happy to find something that has a lot of local flavor, and it's very easy and it's good for you.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at another recipe, pasta confetti, and just looking at it, it's so vibrant. The colors, the avocado, the pasta, and the tomatoes, and they look like heirloom tomatoes, and on, but.
Yeah, and that's a fun one because you can use whatever vegetables are left over in your fridge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tomato tofu, angel hair pasta. This is really and simple, so you don't have to slave over the stove or wait for the next 2 hours to have the pot roast or roast.
Yeah, well, the beauty of this, since I started eating this way, I don't burn myself anymore.
Mm.
I used to have a terrible time back when I ate meat and everything else. I was always burning myself.
Now, let's talk leafy veggies. What would you suggest that a person would incorporate in their diet? Leafy vegetables. What
leafy
types?
Leafy vegetables, well, first of all, let's say, what's not a leafy vegetable.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Iceberg lettuce does not qualify. Iceberg lettuce is simply a vehicle for very messy artery-clogging dressings.
Mm-hmm.
So do not do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm really happy that now it's easy to find those big bags and boxes of pre-washed spring greens, spring mix, baby spinach, various types of leafy greens, and they've already done the work for you. When I started doing this book, this didn't exist, and it took forever to wash and chop and get enough variety to make an interesting salad. But now it's really easy because you can just get this. And if you go to Sam's Club or Costco or Safeway or Down to Earth or Kukua or any of the stores, you can buy this.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them have all different kinds of things mixed in. So I really like that as a base for a quick salad. And then you can add whatever kind of veggies you want. I like to add maybe a few nuts or seeds, possibly some garbanzo beans, just a few, instead of croutons or something like that. And, you know, you can go with however you want. You can add whatever herbs you have on hand. If I'm making a salad and I happen to have an extra orange in the fridge or some berries, I'll toss some of those in as well and maybe put a few sprigs of mint torn up. And make a simple dressing, very simple, with extra virgin olive oil and possibly a little bit of balsamic vinegar. I have some simple and easy dressings. It's great. And by the way, I strongly recommend getting into the habit of making your own dressings. You will save a ton of money. You will enjoy things so much more, and then you'll also know what's going into your body, because even the dressings that are considered healthy have so many things in them that you really, when you do your research, you're going to go, why am I doing this to myself? Besides, you'll go broke.
Right. And the chemicals in some of the preservatives in some of the sauces and the, you know, the salad dressings and what have you can be misleading. But we talked about Bragg's amino acid and the apple cider vinegar. Now, I know that you can obtain that some of that from Long's.
Yeah, you can get it anywhere.
So
here.
It's not, you don't have to fly off to the moon and go through trouble to get these. These are actually readily available.
Yeah, they're probably on your same block if you live anywhere close to town. Yeah, Long's, Foodland, Times, Down to Earth, Safeway, you know. I don't think ABC stores carries it yet, but
maybe they will today.
You never know.
They will listen.
It's really, it's very, very, very common, very easy to find. Yeah.
So the Bragg's amino acids can be used as a substitute for
Yes.
If there's a lot of salt and chemicals and
things. And Bragg's does taste salty, yes, but you don't use very much of it, and it's not thick and heavy. When I discovered Bragg's, I threw out all my shoyu because I just couldn't handle the the shoyu was too salty, too syrupy, it was just too much. The Bragg's gives the same effect without that over salty, over heavy, and whatever you call it. It's not a good thing.
Yeah.
But you can still get that local flavor without the stuff that's not so good.
I've seen some instances where there's been mentioning table-grade muriatic acid was in some shoyus in the processing. So that was for me.
Oh, that's not appealing. Ooh.
So I don't know what brands, but I thought I had read something, and that was enough to for me to avoid it. So people with problems with hypertension, needing a low-salt diet and a low sugar, that should be a selling point right there. I think they could eliminate half the problems, or a great many of the problems, and feel better if they eliminated a lot of the sauces and sugars.
Okay. That brings me to my next point. Yes.
Okay.
You can eat a perfectly healthy food and ruin it by globbing on, for example, ranch dressing or let's say, a teriyaki sauce or something, just any kind of sauces and dressings that you have not made yourself. You can ruin a perfectly healthy food and make it something that is not good for your body. And so this is why I strongly recommend learning how to make it yourself. And you'll find out your food tastes so much better when you make it yourself. And it's not hard. A lot of these things, when you make it fresh, you only need, at the most, maybe three ingredients. That's not hard. And then you shake it up in a bottle and put it in the fridge, and then you got it for next time. So it's really important to make it yourself. And like I said, it's not hard. Also, I strongly recommend you must read labels. And I know they make the fine print fine on purpose, because most of us, especially past a certain age, really do need reading glasses to see print that fine. And we're not likely to go to the trouble unless we have a really good reason. But please do not trust it just because you buy it in a reputable store, or because your friend says it's good, or because you saw it advertised on TV. You must take it upon yourself to read the labels. And in my book, I explain the fine art of reading and understanding nutritional labels. And once you start doing that, there are a whole lot of things you're just going to eliminate from your diet and from your family's diet. And you won't feel like you're sacrificing, though. You won't.
Well, one of the key things is that when you're starting off with vegetarianism is that you don't want to think you need quantity. You got to abandon that, because you're looking for quality. The, the contents, the minerals, and the, all the fiber, and all those things. That's what you're looking for. You're not looking to be filled.
Yes, and when you're eating real food, you will be satisfied. You will be satisfied. I think our American mindset is so much on, well, value equals quantity. And if we're not getting the giant size, the giant economy size of, you know, whatever it is, then it's not a good value. But in fact, you know, there might be minimal or no food value in that item. Just because you buy it in a food store doesn't really mean it's food. And so I had to really rethink my way of looking at food and ask myself, before I buy anything, is this food? And in order for it to be food, it has to provide nourishment.
Nutrition.
Yeah, it has to nourish my body. And if it's got a bunch of chemicals in it, if it's got trans fats, if it's got like a million different types of sugar, especially high fructose corn syrup, it's not going to nourish my body. It's going to be detrimental to my health. So why would I do that on purpose?
So dairy products now, a lot of people, well, if I become a vegetarian, I'm going to have to give up dairy, or some don't know that that's still animal byproducts. So what do I do to substitute my diet with the dairy? What
okay, first of all,
products are
a vegetarian may eat dairy. A vegan won't.
Okay.
A vegetarian, the problem initially when I started doing this was that most of the vegetarian cookbooks, because they didn't use meat products, they were so heavy on the dairy that it wasn't healthy at all. It was, you know, like cholesterol hell, or maybe cholesterol heaven, depending on how you're looking at it. And so, you know, that was problematic. So for people who have chosen to either be vegan or just chosen to eliminate dairy or most dairy, there are some wonderful alternatives. And here in Hawaii, I know many people have a big problem with dairy. There's a lot of lactose intolerance, and people feel much better when they don't eat dairy. I know a lot of asthmatics, when they cut out dairy, they don't have problems anymore. When I cut out dairy, for the most part, anyway, I still eat some yogurt and certain types of cheese made with sheep's milk. But when I cut out milk and cream and ice cream, the dark circles under my eyes went away, my sinuses cleared, and I was sleeping better. I stopped getting bronchitis, and it really made a big difference. And I wasn't planning, I didn't stop dairy because I thought that would make me well. I just stopped it because it seemed to be the thing that I should do, considering the type of cancer that I had. so that made a big difference. Now, what you can do, I make my own nut milks. It's really easy. You know, it's almonds and water and a good blender.
How do I make nut milk, almond milk? You help me out here.
Okay, well, what I do, it depends on if I'm making it to be used, like, say, over cereal. If I'm making it over cereal, I put raw almonds in a high-speed blender with a little bit of water, and I blend it on high until the almonds get kind of crumbled up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then I add more water, and it comes out looking like milk. Now, the little brown specks of sediment will be on the bottom, but that's okay because most cereals have nut products, or you like that crunch anyway. If I'm making milk for an almond milk for something that I want to have it more creamy and smooth, I will pour boiling water over the almonds first, which will make the skins fall off.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can just put the white almonds without the skin.
And still a simple process.
It is.
And these are raw almonds,
Raw almonds. Yeah, you don't want to get the smoked, salty ones. You know, that's going to be really weird. And another thing you can do, if you can just put oatmeal, like regular uncooked rolled oats, in a blender and buzz it up, and it becomes like oat flour, and then you add water, and it looks just like milk.
And then you serve the same over cereal and all.
Right.
And you can use it in recipes.
And, of course, you can buy soy milk, you can buy almond milk, you can buy rice milk. The thing is, you really do need to read all the labels, because a lot of the boxed and packaged products that are milk alternatives are... they still have too much sugar and too many chemicals, because they're trying to give it the same body or make it taste good, but it's too sweet. Even the plain is too sweet for my taste. So I make my own.
Mm-hmm.
And I just make a little bit at a time.
Yeah,
it's really cheap.
Yeah, and so one should get a high-speed blender, really an inexpensive one, or if they can't afford.
You know, you can get blenders. If you don't have a blender to start off with and you don't have a bunch of money, go to a thrift shop.
Yep.
There's always working blenders at thrift shops, and you can pick one up for usually $5 or less.
What I notice a lot at yard sales and garage sales.
Right.
Someone was going to get into cooking, and they bought this really high dollar, and you can find great ones. Bread makers you can find there.
Oh, bread makers all the time, right.
Yeah. And so it doesn't take much to start off, but it's all about being healthy and changing your life. You obviously, why I was interested in this, not just anyone to come in and talk about a book they had written. You have talked the talk and walked the walk. You're a 15-year survivor of cancer, and we can't take issue or argue with that one.
That's true.
So the proof is in the pudding.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this book is definitely good. And how can I get this book, or how do the listeners get it, and how do they contact you? And, again, we don't want to be repetitive, but it's important. You at Castle?
Yes, Castle Medical Center is a wellness center. We'll be having a cooking class on Wednesday evening, February 23rd, from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. I will be teaching a class called Eat, Love, and Live Long. And it's heart-healthy cuisine with an aphrodisiac twist. And I think you'll really, really enjoy it. And you can call 263-5400 during normal business hours, and that's to the Castle phone number for registering for this class.
Now, one thing I don't want to overlook here, you also give private presentations or cooking lessons.
Right.
Can you, because I found that to be of interest.
Sure. One of the things I really enjoy is dealing with challenges such as people who are diabetic, cancer patients, heart patients, celiac patients, candida patients, people with all kinds of allergies, you know, things where they've pretty much given up, and they're very frustrated trying to figure out how to make things work in their life, especially if they're trying to cook not just for themselves but for a family. And I love that challenge of creating recipes that are good for everybody and that really address their dietary needs and taste delicious. So that's something I really enjoy. And I also enjoy cuisines of the world. I love Mediterranean and, you know, Greek, Italian, all of that, and also Vietnamese, Southeast Asian, and I just like food in general from everywhere. Healthy food.
On your website, The Blonde Vegetarian, Rebecca Woodland now brings her culinary classes and expertise to you in her kitchen or yours.
Yes.
Heart smart, awaken your senses with delicious, easy to prepare, hearty, health hearty dishes the whole family will enjoy. So this book is, you took into consideration the impact that it would have on one person being vegetarian and people of other parts of the family want to continue to eat meat-based diets. Or
Well, when I was first diagnosed and decided I had to change my way of eating, I was living with someone who had, his idea of, you know, of a vegetable was mint chocolate chip ice cream. So, you know, it was kind of a challenge. So I was still cooking meat for him, and I was dealing with, you know, my own health issues. And it was a challenge. It was a challenge not only just from a time and energy standpoint, but when I was cooking this food that I really, really liked, it was hard not to cheat. So it all changed one day when he was diagnosed with heart disease, and the doctor told him that he had to eat the same way that I did.
Oh, boy.
And it changed everything, and it made it a lot easier on me at that point, too.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, Rebecca, thank you for joining me.
You can buy my book at...
Yes, and I was going to say, if this book can be obtained at Borders, Sam's Club, Amazon.com, and a variety of other retail stores.
And Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, you can also find it at Down Earth, Walmart, Safeway, Kapahulu, Executive Chef, and elsewhere. So if you want to contact Rebecca, 808-282-9866, or her website, right quick. And
TheBlondeVegetarian.com.
So thank you for joining us. I hope this helped instill something in someone out there to change a diet and live longer and healthier and happier. So.
And may I say one more thing?
Go for it.
It's not about sacrifice. Because the definition of sacrifice means to give up something you value for something of a higher value.
Mm-hmm.
And your health and the health of your loved ones is of much higher value than, the taste of Doritos, for example.
Oh. Well, anyway, thank you, and we'll have you back, and I appreciate you coming and sharing with the people here.
Thank you very much.
Aloha.
And tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show on K108.